Contentment is the secret to a thankful life. Do you really believe that? But why is contentment so elusive? As I view our world today, I see a lot of discontentment. Even when it comes to Christians, there are times when I don't see much difference between us and the way the world thinks. So why is there such a struggle to be content? Many people nowadays have become very unhappy and miserable for a variety of different reasons. With a lot that is happening around the world today, it is not surprising. As well as the rise in natural calamities such as earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis, there's terrorism, and there's also economic crises that take place at various times. Some people have given up hope for a happy and a bright future. It's very easy to be unhappy when we find ourselves in unpleasant situations. For example, how can a sick person be happy when he is in a lot of pain constantly? How can a mother and a father be happy when they do not have enough income to provide for their children's needs? How can one be happy when he does not even have a shelter over his head? You see, there are so many causes of unhappiness, and indeed, each of them need to be addressed. Besides having poor health and insufficient income, there are other causes for unhappiness as well. They include, number one, burnout and lack of productive work. The key word is productive, for it gives a sense of fulfillment. The lack of it leads to a feeling of emptiness and a lack of purpose in life. Number two, there's the fear of rejection. You see, it hurts when people reject us. It leaves a feeling of sadness, and it lowers our self-esteem. Rejection can be manifested in many different forms. Some people express rejection by verbally saying to that individual that they don't care for them. They don't like their particular ideas that they're trying to expound. Some express skepticism or ridicule when a person presents a new idea. Others try to form their own group and exclude those they dislike. Rejection is also expressed non-verbally. Some adopt a close and defensive stance and they refuse to listen to ideas by redirecting the flow of the congregation, the conversation that day. The thumbs down sign is universally understood as rejection. Number three, living according to other people's standards. This is a very common cause of unhappiness. Those who are too conscious of what others might say about them usually have trouble making decisions. Thus, they live their lives according to other people's will and expectations for them. It's very difficult to pursue happiness if all we do is try to please other people and not deal with the issue as we believe it should be done. Number four, the fear of failure. It's failure to achieve important goals in life that can lead to a feeling of inadequacy and a lot of frustration. Number five, sins and crimes. Nobody's perfect. All of us commit mistakes and sin at times. Some people may have unknowingly committed such things. However, there are people who consciously live their lives in sin and in immorality. These people have not fully realized the serious consequences of going down that road. Sins and crimes of one sort or another are certainly a cause of unhappiness. Crime? Well, crime does not pay. Criminals eventually get caught, and eventually justice catches up with them. Violence begets violence, and we see how it is taking place in our own city, even at the present time. Truly, it is difficult to find a bright future if a person is behind bars. Some who manage to get away with their crimes, guilt will most likely haunt their conscience and can cause them to feel miserable for the rest of their lives. Number six, alcohol and drugs. Some people think that happiness can be obtained through alcohol and drugs. Consequently, they resort to these substances, thinking they can escape from the worries of life. They're dead wrong. Alcohol is a mood-altering substance, antidepressant. When great quantities are consumed, it can be fatal. Alcohol abuse ruins both the mind and the body. It can cause high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, liver disease, and other related disorders. Anyone who drinks too much is risking themselves when they get on the highway of having a serious accident and involving other people's lives. On the other hand, the misuse of drugs play a role in destroying the mental health of the user. Today, friends, we see so many examples of social disintegration and chaos due to the worldwide surge of drug addiction. Many of the suicides and homicide cases are related to drug abuse. Number seven, destructive criticism. These are useless acts that seldom accomplish any positive result. If we have to give feedback, we should make sure it is constructive and useful, because criticism is one of the greatest causes of limiting the direction that people will go. Often what happens is we feel angry, irritable, when we've been unduly criticized. On the other hand, we still have the choice about how to handle unjust criticism when it comes our way. In God's strength, we can choose not to dwell on these feelings, for they can lead to problems that are much more serious down the road. I think we should actually have the attitude of our forefathers who first landed here in North America. At the beginning, they did not have an easy life. They struggled in many different ways. So they could have focused on their problems, but they instead chose to concentrate on the things that God had blessed them with. As the story goes, in 1578, English explorer Martin Frobisher and his crew gave thanks, and communion was observed either on land at the Frobisher Bay in the present-day Nunavut, or on board a ship that was anchored nearby. The explorers dined on salt beef, biscuits, and mushy peas. How about having that for your Thanksgiving dinner? But they gave thanks through communion for their safe arrival. This is now accepted as the first Canadian Thanksgiving 43 years before the first American Thanksgiving. How about our first people to land in the United States? The year was 1620. Pilgrims had just landed in America. They faced two extreme hardships. But it is well-known fact that the pilgrims came because of their Christian faith. They came to America because they loved God, and because they believed that God was leading them to do so. So they focused on that fact. They were not deists. They were biblical Christians who believed that Almighty God had brought them to the shores of this fair land. William Bradford, in his book On the Plantations, tells the reaction of the pilgrims when they landed at Cape Cod. This is what he said. Having arrived safely in America, they fell upon their knees and they blessed the God of heaven for all he had brought them through. He had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and the miseries thereof. But you know, there are sometimes in our lives when there seems to be no apparent reason to be content, to have a thankful heart. The following true story will illustrate this fact. On a brisk November day, about 20 years ago, Scott and Janet loaded six of their beloved nine children into a van. They headed to Watertown, Wisconsin, to visit their older son, Dan. You can only imagine how excited these six siblings were to go and see their big brother. They hadn't seen him for a while. Tragically, the six children would never reach their destination. Here's how the event unfolded. Scott Willis said he saw some metal fly off a truck ahead of them. Their minivan rolled over it, which punctured the gas tank, which caused it to explode. Five of the children were badly burned and died unseen. The sixth one later died in the hospital. The parents themselves barely escaped with their lives. They had to consciously put their hands into the flames to unbuckle their seatbelts and reach for the door handles to get out of that automobile. They sustained serious burns but survived. How did they respond to this tragedy? When asked how they coped with the loss of their children, Scott replied by giving a little historical background. He said Janet became a Christian as a teen. She did that after reading a gospel tract that someone had handed to her. Scott himself trusted Christ as his Savior after a man showed him that he was a sinner. Up to that point, no one had ever presented the gospel to him. Since then, God had been working with them as a couple as they constantly studied God's word. God had prepared them for this trial that would take place years later. Scott said, "We were not special people. We're sinners saved by grace. Since becoming believers, we have not taken a short view on life." Listen to that. He didn't take a short view on life. "We have taken a long view that includes eternal life. We realize that someday we'll stand before the Lord. The things that happen here in this life will matter very little then." They believed that God's grace would be sufficient to meet whatever challenges would occur in their lives. As a result, when this calamity struck, even though they did not understand why God allowed it, they believed that God would see them through. He said, "We're able to praise God. It's not the end for us," he said. "We'll see those children again." There are only, you see, two possible responses to that kind of loss that happened to Scott and Janet: utter despair or unquestioning faith. They didn't learn that the easy way. They, in the long life's road, they had their bumps in the road, and they had learned to trust God in the little things, and then when this big calamity came, they were able to handle it. For the Willis couple, despair was not an option. There was no question in their minds that God is good. You hear this repeated every Sunday morning here, don't we? And they were able to praise Him, knowing that Jesus would look after them in this tragedy. He was the one who would sustain them. What would you say in such a tragic situation? I ask myself the same question. I'm reminded of what Scott Willis said. Listen to what he said. He said, "There is no question in their minds that God is good." and we praise Him in all things. I tell you, the most incomprehensible part of that statement is the phrase, "There is no question." No question at all after 6 children are burned to death? It was hard for me to really grasp that when I read that story. Friends, that is utter faith in Almighty God. That is learning contentment in the midst of tragedy. But it is entirely right that we should learn to do that, as difficult as it can be. After all, the Bible itself says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. What does it say? You probably memorized it. In everything, give thanks. Does it say something? It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, and bless His name. You see, either Scott Lott had lost his mind, or he had found his faith. I believe he found his faith, because he was able to take such a stand in such tragedy. I'll be honest. I don't know what I would say if 3/4 of my children were taken in a fiery death. It'd be tough. We know that God says in that moment He will give grace for whatever we have to bear, and whatever strength that we may need to have during that time. I don't know how I would handle it. So what is the secret of contentment in having a thanksgiving heart? Why is it that some people approach this holiday with rejoicing and others with trepidation? Some people are not looking forward to the holiday. Some of you know that Thanksgiving will mean either a day of loneliness for you, or a day of busyness, or just another day of work. Or perhaps a day of family strife that is pushing you to the limits. Some of you may look over the past 12 months and say, I don't really have that much to be thankful for. If you add up the pluses and the minuses of the past year, it may seem to you that the minuses are greater than the pluses. As you face Thanksgiving, you may end up just becoming another Ebenezer Scrooge, the humbug on the whole thing. You say, I don't have anything to be grateful for. Friends, what is the secret to being grateful in all circumstances? Just one word, we've already repeated it. It's the word contentment. Not prosperity. It's found in the following passage where the Apostle Paul, when he went through a lot of difficulty, said this in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need. For I have learned in whatever, notice he says this, I have learned. It didn't happen overnight for him. I have learned in whatever state I am, there to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And notice the ending. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Would you like to know the definition of contentment? Contentment is realizing how much you already have, how much God has already given to you, and then in that sense, how rich you really are. The problem with many of us is that we approach Thanksgiving focused on the circumstances of life. Far too many determine their happiness and their joy and contentment by how things are going on the outside. The Bible says that's not the direction to go. Contentment is not a matter of outward circumstances. Contentment is a matter of understanding how much God has blessed you. I want to share with you a little mathematical equation. You can pull up your bulletin. And in that bulletin, you'll find an equation there in the sermon notes. And if you can't finish it today, you at least this morning, finish it when you go home. I think it's important. I want to give you four steps to the equation in order to experience a happy Thanksgiving and indeed a contented life. Take a look at those sermon notes in that bulletin. Where does a happy Thanksgiving begin? You have to add something, subtract something, multiply something, and divide something. What are you to add? Add your blessings. In Deuteronomy, the Lord says the following to the people of Israel as they were posed on the bank of the Jordan River. They were frightened to death to go in. They were frightened to conquer Jericho. They were scared to death of those Canaanites. They were saying to themselves, "These nations are stronger than we are. How can we ever drive them out?" God said, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and Egypt. Remember the Red Sea. Remember the Exodus. Remember. You saw with your own eyes the great miraculous signs and wonders. The mighty hand and the outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out." See, the first step to having a happy Thanksgiving is to have a good memory. A good memory of all the blessings God has bestowed upon you. Take a moment to remember at least three of those blessings that God has sent into your life in the last 12 months. Write them down. Number two, subtract your losses. Subtract your losses. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What about Romans chapter 8, verse 28? You know this verse, you probably memorized it. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Do you believe it? What are your losses? What are the difficulties that you've come through? What are the defeats you may have experienced? What are the failures? What are the humiliations? Times that may have occurred like that in your life. Things that maybe just didn't work out the way that you thought it was going to. When you look at your life, those things come into the debt column. Subtract them right now. Maybe it's bitterness that has occurred as a result. Or resentment. Or a broken relationship. And then, multiply your promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we read that Peter talks about the fact that God has granted to us exceeding great and precious promises. The Bible is a book filled with the promises of God. This is what I want you to do. Think about the promises that God has made to you, or about you, or for you in Scripture. Promises that you're going to hang on to right now. The promises that as a Christian are sustaining you in your life. Why don't you write down at least three of them? Are you memorizing Scripture? God gave it to you. He gave you these promises, and here's a few I'm going to mention. Hebrews 13:5, where He Himself has said this: no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that a great promise? And then there's Psalm 91, verse 1. It says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Wonderful promise. And then Psalm 1, verse 5 says, For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And lastly, number four, divide your burdens. What do I mean by that? Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, you divide your burden by taking on someone else's burden. When you help someone else with their burden, guess what happens to yours? It becomes lighter. When you reach out a helping hand to someone else, the Lord makes it easier for you. So many of us are a little too inward focused sometimes, and a little too myopic looking at ourselves. Write down the name of at least three people who have a burden that you could help this Thanksgiving week. Maybe you could give them a call. Maybe you could write them a letter. Give them some money. Give them a hug. Go see them. Help them with a project. Bake some cookies or food and spend some time with them. Instead of focusing on your problem, think about dividing your burden. Ask the Lord to show you who you could help this week. Conclusion, what is contentment? Contentment is realizing how much you already have and thanking God for it. God has given you more than you realize. I want you to consider once again what Scott Willis said when he experienced their unspeakable family tragedy. He says there's no question in our minds that God is good and we praise Him in all things. Can you say that? I encourage you to go home today and take on the challenge of following through on this mathematical equation to experiencing a truly contented life. And why not share that plan with your family and friends and encourage them to do the same? Sit down, do a little adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, and experience the blessing that will come your way if you do that. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, give us eyes to see your blessings. Oh Lord, give us hands ready to reach out and help those in need. Oh Lord, give us hearts to rejoice in you and lips to sing your praise. Help us, Lord, to understand that whether we see it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not, you, O Lord, are good all the time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Call on the worship team to sing our closing hymn. Count your blessings. We trust you'll be encouraged.